Back when I was a teacher and an officer in the BB, I was a first aider. I had certificates in rescue and emergency care, first aid at work. I was even an instructor in the Heart Start program. And recently, I'm not sure why, but I was thinking about first aid. And I said to myself, I'm a first aider. Then I realized it's been 10 years since I attended a course. And in fact, I actually struggled to remember all the stuff that I used to teach. I remember there was something about ABC or DRABC. I can't even remember how to do a bandage properly. Sadly, I realized that I'm not a first aider. It was a bit hard to take, to be honest. While I practiced and taught it, I was a good first aider. I did first aid for school rugby matches, all sorts of things. But when I left teaching and I stopped helping out with Duke of Edinburgh expeditions, the knowledge and the practice simply started to slip away. But you know, until recently, I thought I was a first aider. Why do I tell you this? Well, it's because I did first aid because I had to. Yeah, I enjoyed it. But obviously, my heart wasn't in it. It wasn't totally in it. But, you know, I still liked the label. I had been initially equipped to do first aid, but without a heart for it, I stopped being equipped. Every 3 years, you need to do a new course, you have to do renewed training and all that. And I didn't do that. To be a first aider, you must have a heart for it. And then you will seek to be continually equipped because you see the need for it. I think similar can be said in the people of Israel. This is the last of our sermon series in Deuteronomy, entitled Equipping God's People. And that is what it's all about. It's all about equipping God's people. Equipping them to go into the promised land, to take possession of it. In Deuteronomy, we see Moses initially equipping the people of God. And how did he equip them? Well, he taught them. He taught them what the Lord expected of them and how to live in the land. He instructed them to obey the Lord's teaching, his commands, his statutes, his laws. He showed them how to live for God. And why did he do all this? He did it so that they would go into the land, they would take the land, they would live in the land, they would enjoy the land, they would be blessed. They would show themselves to be God's chosen people, a people distinctive for God in the world, a holy people, a people who would then bless the world. These are some of the last words of Moses to his people, and we read them in Deuteronomy 32:45. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." He knew that they would need to be continually equipping themselves to ensure that they kept the law so that they would do it every 7 years. They would teach it to their children and it would be continually renewed in them. But sadly, as we have seen and as we know, their hearts were not right. And in the long run, they wouldn't end up keeping the law. In fact, we have no evidence that they even kept the sabbatical laws, which we looked at about a month ago. They forgot. Our spiritual hearts are so important. And it's all about the condition of our hearts. And this will be determined by our equipping. The challenge of Deuteronomy for me is simple. It's about heart. Moses did all that he did because the Lord had called him. Moses had a heart for the Lord. He never entered the promised land. But I would say that his heart was in the promised land. Through his relationship with God, he knew the wonder of that relationship and the wonder of heaven. And the people, yes, they entered the promised land, but their hearts, we could say, were in the wilderness. It's all a wee bit confusing. Hopefully you stay with me. And the question we need to ask is, do we have hearts like the people of Israel or like Moses? A heart that is in the promised land, enjoying the blessings of the Lord, living for God, or a heart that's in the wilderness, that barren place of no blessing? In order to have a heart in the promised land, we need to get this equipping of God's people thing. Equipping God's people isn't a one-off thing. Equipping God's people is continual. It's like that first aid thing. We are the people of God, and we are to be equipped to live for Him. As we read in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Verse 12, "Live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." As the video showed, we are part of the story. And our part in the story is to love God and to love others. To show the other nations, the people who don't know God, what God is like. He is a God of love through how we live our Christian lives, pointing to the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, who perfectly loved God and perfectly loved others, who fulfilled the law and taught us by the example of His love. It's all about the heart. And we need to have hearts like Moses and not Israel. That means that we are not just initially equipped, but we seek to be continually equipped to follow God. The song that Moses taught to the people, which we read, which is quite a song to have to memorize, by the way. I thought about it for like 3 seconds, but then I just thought, no, I'm not going to memorize that. Which shows us in that song, we see the problem for Israel, I think anyway. And you can see it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. It says, "Jeshurun." Jeshurun is a word for the upright one, basically talking about Israel. So saying, "The upright one grew fat and kicked, filled with food. He became heavy," and that Hebrew word can be used to say rich. "He became rich and sleek and abandoned the God who made him and rejected the rock, his Savior." Israel took the initial good times that it experienced in the promised land, but that caused them in the long run to abandon God, to rely on other gods. They worshipped other gods. They relied on themselves. They forgot about God. They needed to be continually equipped, but they weren't. They didn't obey the laws. They had bad hearts. Let us, for a short time, just look at Moses and learn from his story about what it is like to have a heart for God, a heart which is truly in the promised land. Because as the very end of Deuteronomy says, in verse 10 of 34, "Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh and all his officials in the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." So we need to learn from him. And he was continually equipped to serve God. Moses' life probably can be split into 3 40-year periods. The first 40 we know well enough. He was a baby. He was saved as a baby in the reeds. He was brought up by the royal family. He was looked after by his mother for probably 12 years. And in that time, he would have learnt about God. He saw one of his people being mistreated, and he killed the Egyptian who was doing that. And there's no denying it. Moses was a murderer. And what he did was wrong. But even in that, we can see an initial desire for justice. The second 40 years, he was a shepherd in the wilderness. He ran away from Egypt. And again, when he ran away from Egypt, we see justice again, where at a well he protected Reuel's daughters, and then he even married one of them. And then we get to about Ye. When he met God in the burning bush. And at 80, this changed his life. He entered into the Lord's service. His heart was changed. And he remained that way, as we know. And we want to see here that a heart in the promised land, first of all, knows its identity. If we look back in Exodus chapter 3, we can see, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you.' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is who you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.'" Like Moses, we are God's. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. To have a heart in the promised land, we must grasp the significance of our identity. As we read in Peter, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." We belong to God. He chose us. He chose us. That is our identity. And he chose us to go and to make disciples of all nations. Then a heart in the promised land knows its power. If we look at Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since I have spoken to, or since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you to speak and will teach you what to say." God sends us with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read in John 14, "But the Counselor," Jesus said, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." This is the power that we have within us, which helps us to keep our hearts in the promised land. As we remember this, it helps to equip us for the job ahead. Next, we see that a heart in the promised land serves. It serves and it is prepared to do great things, things which might seem impossible. Look at Moses. The signs and wonders that he did in Egypt. He led this great nation of people. He parted the Red Seas, provided water and food. He taught this whole nation about the law. He made he didn't make the tabernacle. He told them how to make the tabernacle. The key to his service was that he knew that it wasn't Moses that did it all, but it was all of God. Moses knew the power that he had was from God, because his identity was in the Lord. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 12:7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." In Ephesians 4:12, "To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." A heart in the promised land understands the importance of service and is prepared to use the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit to do great things for the Lord. Service is a heart thing. Sadly, there are many Christians whose hearts are in the wilderness because they don't serve. They are not being continually equipped by the acts of service, by serving God, by serving the world, by loving God and loving others. And then we see that a heart in the promised land intercedes for the people. In Moses, we see that with a change in heart to serve God, He also had a heart for God's people. And we see this throughout Deuteronomy, how he passionately taught them. But especially in Exodus, we see his love for the people. When the people worshipped the golden calf in Exodus 32, God wanted to wipe them out and then to make Moses into a great nation. But twice Moses interceded on behalf of the people. First, he called on God's promises to Abraham. Then after that, Moses offered to take the punishment upon himself. He said this, "But now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." If we are to have hearts in the promised land, then we must have hearts for people. We must intercede for people. We must pray for people, people who don't know Jesus, and be willing, like Moses, to go to them, to teach them, all about God and what God has done for them through our words and through our actions. And as we do this, it will continue to equip us to have the right hearts for not praying for people. Could our hearts be in the wilderness because of selfishness? A heart in the promised land knows to share the load. Moses had Aaron. He had Joshua to help him. And when the running of the camp was too much for him, when he was exhausted and he was neglecting his family, Moses listened to his father-in-law. Which is not something I really do very often. But anyway. But Moses appointed leaders and judges over the people to help. This is an important principle. It is important for those who serve the Lord, who want their hearts to remain in the promised land. We too can be too busy thinking that we are the only ones who can do something. And this is dangerous. Because we can neglect family, we can become exhausted, and worse, we can become proud and start to believe that we are responsible for the work. Selfishness comes in, and we end up with hearts in the wilderness. That's why we need people around us to help us to stay on track. Moses had Aaron, a fellow worker. Moses had Joshua, someone who he was a mentor to, someone who he was bringing up and teaching to take over. He also had Jethro, his father-in-law, who mentored him, who kept him in the right way of going. We need these relationships around us. If we don't have these relationships around us, we will not be continually equipped. We will not be kept right. We could so easily stray into the wilderness. Ask yourselves, do you have an Aaron in your life? A Joshua, a Jethro? We need these people in our lives to keep our hearts in the promised land, to keep equipping us. And then we see that a heart in the promised land leaves the people with no excuses. We see this in the effort that Moses went to ensure the law was known by all, taught to all. He even went as far as to explain the promises and the curses to people. And there's some really hard reading in the book of Deuteronomy. But he did it. Do we do this to the people we know? In love, going to the people who don't know the Lord and telling them the consequences of not following God and the promises of following God. Do we tell them? And we see that a heart in the promised land is faithful. It hears and obeys the Lord. Throughout the last 40 years of his life, Moses continually went to the Lord for counsel. He, on the whole, he messed up a couple of times, but on the whole, he didn't try to do things by himself. He remained faithful through his strong relationship with God and his honesty before God. And when he heard the word of God, he obeyed it. We need to be like Moses in order to keep our hearts in the promised land. A heart in the wilderness doesn't do any of those points that I have just said. Or maybe only does a few. We need to do them all. It isn't equipped. One of the reasons I think that the church is in decline in general as we look around Northern Ireland is because within our pews we have many who see themselves as being within the church and therefore in the promised land. But in reality, their hearts are in the wilderness. Maybe they had that initial decision to follow Jesus and they had even initial equipping, but a field to continually be equipped to serve and follow Jesus. As we finish Deuteronomy, where is your heart? Do you love God and love others? Is it in the promised land or is it in the wilderness? Let us grasp hold of our identity in the Lord and grasp hold of that power that we have through the Holy Spirit to minister, to go out there and to tell people about God, and let us serve our Lord and Savior in this world. Let us serve in the church, let us serve in the world, bringing His hope and His love to this world. Let us not stop interceding for the world. Let us intercede for each other, but let us intercede and pray for and care about a world that if it doesn't know the Lord, that has no excuses. Let us share the load. Let us not try and do everything ourselves, but let us be a community, a body of believers working together, building each other up and bringing glory to God in our lives. Let us be faithful. When we hear God's word, let us obey the word of the Lord. Let us learn from Moses and heed the warning of the people of Israel.